and welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to, I hope you're ready for Night Games edition of the Gopher Gridiron Radio podcast, just 12 days away as we record this, Luke.
I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, Ryan, but you know, to that point about the Night Game edition, I mean, how long have Gopher fans waited for a schedule like this where they're going to get night games, they can tailgate, you know, you could go play nine holes of golf, you could do all your kids' activities, you could go to an apple orchard, pumpkin patch, whatever, you could still make it to tailgating and you could have a full day, but guess what? You can't tailgate this year.
Well, here's the other thing, Luke, is not only are there four night games of the eight games already announced, three of them are on Friday freaking nights.
And which and did you also, I was going to say, did you also see that College Game Day is considering the Michigan-Minnesota game, which is like back-to-back home, literally back-to-back games could
home,
be
back-to-back home games where the Gophers have College Game Day.
How
they
ridiculous.
Haven't hosted it ever, and then they would potentially get it. Of which I can confirm, Luke, I know that ESPN has talked to people at the Gopher football, I guess, facility would be the way to phrase that.
Sure.
Because I mean, we'll get into it, but Minnesota, Michigan is the ABC game Saturday night.
Right.
ABC and ESPN are connected at the hip.
And there's a bias there.
Same, yeah. Yeah, it's the same company. And I believe they're at Alabama. I think they're Alabama something this weekend. So.
But can we just be honest? Like, are they going to have to like go drive down to like Shakopee to film this? Because honestly, where are you going to socially distance people enough to like get people to show up? Northrop, they're going to allow like what, 150 people?
I don't know. Trust me. I hope it's a great problem to have because sure. College Game Day, back-to-back home games for Gopher football, is something that's never happened before, but it's certainly something that we hopefully are discussing this time next week. But before we get into that, Luke, as we talked about in the last podcast, we have some new podcast ratings to talk about.
I know. And you know what? Quite frankly, I mean, we've just been elite in these last few comments. 3-5 stars. What's our composite then? Is our composite 5 stars between the three?
No, it's still 4-9. We're not quite elite yet. We're not a 5-star prospect, but we're getting close.
Okay.
We are getting close.
Okay, so let's see. Usernames, we got Curdy4329. By far the best Gopher podcast. Fantastic insight and good football knowledge. I think the good football knowledge is me. You're the great football knowledge. And let's be honest. I'm not good football knowledge. I'm like average to below average, which basically brings our combined average to good instead of your great. Would you agree with that? Well,
that's about the kindest thing you've ever said to me. If people know how much crap you talked about me in the pre-production meetings, they'd be blushing. But we appreciate that, Curdy. And he ends it with, you know, I mean, our podcast is basically breaking down the information from this one. So sounds like he's got another Gopher podcast, which that's awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. Really that's happy. Really cool.
So we greatly appreciate it. Then we have PMT Gopher, who I know is a GI member. He says, great content, but if you're a linguist, I would strongly discourage you from listening to Luke as he will mispronounce a minimum of 5 words per podcast. That's actually probably accurate. That's very, very accurate.
There's got to be somebody that's keeping stats on that. Okay, and then we have Robbie2468135 which I kind of like the numbers that he went for there. Great detailed info on the Gophers. So thank you all for rating the podcast. Again, this is just a good way for people to help find the podcast by getting it rated and reviewed with comments helps people find it. So we appreciate that. So let's just dive right into this. Or do you have something to add to that?
Well, I was going to say, again, I know it's not glamorous to hear us read your podcast reviews, but hey, it's us essentially saying we are trying to listen to any and all constructive criticism or constructive feedback or all 5-star reviews. I'm okay with all 5-star reviews, but it's more, we're trying to connect more with the audience here because the audience has been growing and growing as the season's been getting closer. And we just want you guys to know that I don't want to say this, appreciate you tremendously.
Yeah, and we know that a lot of people really want to support the program. that was with our live event. That was very obvious and evident. We had, I don't know, 150-ish.
I wish we were able to do that again.
We'll do that again. And my son will actually be running around this time versus, you know,
will be thrilled with that, trying to keep an eye on him. And hopefully, I'm going to shoot for the moon with this next event. I'm going to try to get Fleck.
Okay, let's shoot for the moon.
I mean, we got assistance last time plus the GM. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say, PJ, what else you got going on in July night? Come on out to the brewery, you and Heather, and let's have some fun with some fans, eh?
Yeah, so absolutely.
We'll see if I can't swing it or not.
Let's see. All right, let's get into some content here. Before we get into the schedule and predictions, a couple housekeeping items. The news is finally out, Ryan. Demetrius Douglas retires from football. I knew that. You know, you hinted at this on Gopher Illustrated a long time, but you gave him his moment. I think you probably knew about this. So what's the backstory?
Yeah, the backstory is, I believe in July is when the time period was, June or July, that Demetrius went to the staff, told them about how COVID has put some things in perspective in his life. And he had just told them, you know, I don't think I'm going to play this fall, and then I'm going to graduate in December, and I'm not going to come back for my fifth year. I'm just going to start my career. And they were like, hey, that's what you want to do. We're 100% behind you. And that's what the news was. So for that 3-star review last week, this is the news we were alluding to. This shouldn't be a shock to anybody on Gopher Illustrated. It has been on the message boards for quite some time. So now when you look at the Minnesota offense, you're going to be without your wide receiver one from last year in Tyler Johnson and your wide receiver three in Demetrius Douglas. So that's where you'll notice. I also, if you go back and listen to the offensive preview episode, I didn't forget Demetrius Douglas. For those of you who have been DMing me asking why he wasn't included, maybe that was the hint that maybe some of you guys should have been taking. Read between the lines. You got to love to see it. So that's where I think there's going to be more reps for guys like Daniel Jackson, Doug Emelin, the two true freshmen there, and then Seth Green potentially as well. It's going to be an interesting scenario, though, because I'm not entirely sure what they're going to do at the return spot. And that's where Demetrius was primarily used. I mean, that's what folks will probably remember him for most. I'm sure many of you will have very glowing memories, I should say, of Demetrius Douglas's punt return touchdown against Wisconsin to help give Minnesota the axe back for the first time in far too long. So it's sad to see, because I mean, I feel like we've been talking about Demetrius Douglas from when he chose Minnesota over Notre Dame back in Fleck's first year, when he took the job, and now he's already graduating. So mm-hmm. not only with my birthday in August did I feel old, now I'm starting to feel real old.
I was going to add, in addition to that Wisconsin punt return, another big moment in his career was that, I think it was a fourth down reception against Georgia State.
It was the Georgia Southern game.
Or Georgia Southern, that was
that,
right.
That final scoring drive, it was 3rd and 30. From, I think, Minnesota's own 6. And Demetrius had the key catch on 3rd down, made a couple guys miss to set up a 4th and 12. And then he made the catch there as well to extend the drive. And that's where, you know, he wasn't the flashiest of players, didn't make a ton of plays in his Gopher career. But those three in specific, those two plays against Georgia Southern, and then the big one being the Wisconsin punt return touchdown to really flip momentum back on Minnesota's side before the half, were two huge plays in his career, and we wish him the best as he embarks in the winter here on his new career.
I'll close this out real quick on Demetrius Douglas. If you want to talk about maturation of a position group and just the quality of kind of recruits that you're seeing come in, Demetrius Douglas came in as a true freshman and started. He got hurt in that very first game and didn't play, but he was by far one of the best receivers his freshman year, right? And now when he comes into his senior year, he was maybe the third receiver.
I would have been surprised if he won out the wide receiver three job with Ottman Bell and Bateman ahead of him, because as everyone who's been listening to this knows, I'm high on Daniel Jackson, I'm high on Doug Emelin, I'm high on Seth Green, maybe even Clay Gary or Michael Brown Stevens, and I think the competition, as Luke is alluding to, is significantly improved
right.
from where it was when he first stepped on campus.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit about the schedule. We got some news today, actually, if memory serves.
Correct.
Four games announced, including three that will be on Friday nights. So sorry for all you playing high school games that are now starting.
I didn't want to go out and evaluate high school prospects before it's ungodly cold and it's a shortened COVID season anyway. It's fine, Big Ten. No.
But, you know, TV rules everything, Ryan. You know that.
It certainly does, especially in a COVID-shortened season. They need to maximize all of those dollars.
Right. And frankly speaking, actually, all sports across the board, ratings are down. But I don't think that has necessarily anything to do with COVID. That's a joke. Okay. But Michigan...
Not sure that one landed, but I appreciate the effort.
It didn't land. But, man, I can't believe how people are like, well, TV ratings are down, therefore your product's garbage. It's not that. There's so many other factors.
I believe I saw
so
a tweet that the NFL's got the top 10 live events, or the top 10, I forget how it was phrased, but the 10 most watched events on television in 2020 have all been NFL.
Yeah, well, the thing is like people are giving the NBA such a hard time. Is like the ratings are down. Well, the NBA typically doesn't compete against the NFL, which it's doing now. And by the way, Major League Baseball is going on. Oh, and by the way, so is hockey. Like there is just a ton of stuff to compete against. You know, one being the behemoth, which is the NFL. So I think it's pretty lazy to say, well, the product sucks, or it's some political backlash because of the NBA taking a stand. That's notwithstanding. This isn't a political podcast, but we can get into this offline.
There's a bunch of things going on.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on.
And that's where the big game, as we alluded to, where we talked about earlier in the podcast here, Michigan next Saturday, October the 24th, it's 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. You get the primetime spot. I believe the World Series will be on Fox, and I'm sure there'll be something else on ESPN or CBS with the SEC. But, I mean, you're on cable television, or, you know, you're on Channel 5 here in the Twin Cities. You're on ABC. Prime opportunity to, at home, to really kind of prove to the country that you weren't just an aberration last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I do think there is a very real chance the College Game Day could be coming in. And then we get into the Friday night slates, because October 30th, the next week, Minnesota goes on a short week then and plays at Maryland at 6:30 on ESPN. They get Illinois on a Saturday, and then they have two straight Friday night games at home, where it's 6 p.m. against Iowa for the Floyd of Rosedale. And then the Fighting Jeff Broms of Purdue come in on November the 20th on Big Ten Network. And that's where you know, when was the last time? I don't think it's ever happened. Four of the first five games for Minnesota are night games, and three of the first five are on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And that's where I've also gotten some tweets and some questions on Gopher Illustrated asking about this is, you know, I think there was talk last year that Minnesota couldn't have night games in October or November. That's why the Wisconsin game was at 2:30. I forget what the reasoning was behind that, but with COVID, I mean, everything's kind of on the table now. And that's where, I mean, Minnesota's got, I guess, primetime exposure with Friday night games. I'm not entirely thrilled about four night games already. You know, I guess I'm not going to sleep, especially if I'm trying to do a Friday night game and then sneak into a tree stand on Saturday morning. It's going to be a short morning. But what do you think about Friday night games?
I mean, I understand trying to maximize the revenue, right? And why they're doing it. They've already been pushing for this previously, right? I think it was last year, 2 years ago, they started playing some Friday night games after the majority of high school seasons were done, right?
Right. And that's where I'm not entirely sure how this is going to line up with Minnesota State High School League compared to, say, Illinois. Illinois is not playing this year, so they're going to be able to watch all those recruits. But recruits down in the South who are still potentially playing. And so, the only thing that would also be a hindrance, I think, would be the target audience, the 18 to 22-year-old individuals who are trying to have watch the games are going to be likely playing during that time if their team's worth anything. So it's – I get the whole exposure angle. It's still weird for me to think three of the eight games are going to be on Fridays.
It is unique, but I mean, these are unique times, so I guess nothing is out of the question. Again, it's so ironic that the season that you can't actually like go to games and tailgate is the year that Gopher fans have been waiting for, basically, I don't know, since TCF Bank opened and, you know, they could tailgate on campus. Like, man, it's just unbelievably ironic.
It is. Like, we have all these night games, and just, you would have had all day to tailgate, all day to get your body ready for some cold games, probably. And you're not going to be able to do it, unfortunately, Luke.
All right. So, big fall scrimmage on Saturday, Ryan. Any details on that?
Yeah, they usually have their one fall camp scrimmage, each fall camp. That was this past Saturday. And I'm going to annoy some people. All of the details that I've heard are on GopherIllustrated.com. It's just $1 for 30 days, and the season's 12 days away. So as we wait on Jacob Schuster, a four-star defensive lineman, as we wait on Davon Townley, a four-star defensive end from Minneapolis North, we got the latest there. And the season is 12 days away, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the trigger. It's $1. It's 100 pennies, 10 dimes, 20 nickels. Seems like a pretty good deal to me, especially if you want to know a few different details on how that scrimmage went. For those of you who are members and you're like, what are you talking about? Check the fall camp thread on the message board.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about this schedule. We've already alluded to some game times that we already know about, many night games, as we said. Let's start probably maybe just a quick recap of last year. You had the Gophers going 9-3 in the regular.
Which at the time, I believe everybody thought that was absurd, because mm-hmm. Minnesota was picked like fourth or fifth in the West by these national media people. And I remember you and I, before we recorded this, I was kind of hemming and hawing, saying, I kind of want to go 10 wins, but that's going to seem way too Homer-like.
Sure.
Well, it turns out it wasn't Homer enough, because Minnesota ends the regular season 10-2, ends up winning 11 games the first time in a long time. So I have that at least going for me. And then I went back to see how bad I did in 2018. And I actually predicted they were going to be 7-6, and they ended up 7-6. So I feel like there's a lot of pressure right now, and I'm not really thrilled about that.
you feel like there's pressure. Okay. Do you feel like
people accurate predictions, or else they're not going to stick around, my man?
I was going to say, like, what do you think? People are going to go fly right out to Vegas and place bets right after they listen? Or? Like,
I don't even know what the, I don't know. Is there, I'm sure there is, because it's Vegas and everybody wants to bet, but I don't know what the over under would be for Minnesota.
Yeah. I actually don't know.
I'd either. Say this, if you can find it 4.5, I'd bet the mortgage on the over, but I say that and now I have a mortgage, and that makes me terrified to say that. So, I mean, I feel pretty optimistic. This is going to be an above 500 team, but we're going to get into it here game by game quick.
All right. So let's start with Michigan. This is quite the home opener, right? Obviously, next year will be also quite big with Ohio State. Michigan will be breaking in a new quarterback, Joe Milton. Who was the quarterback? Did he transfer? Is he sitting out? I can't remember. McCaffrey's kid, right?
You think Christian McCaffrey already has a kid, or you think
no, Ed McCaffrey? I remember when Ed McCaffrey played.
I'm probably too young, and this is not going to earn me any brownie points with some folks, but yeah, I'm not, I don't really know who Ed McCaffrey is. Don't hate me.
Denver Broncos wide receiver. That's how I remember him.
So their Michigan's QB1 last year was Shea Patterson. He graduated.
Right.
You'll remember he was an Ole Miss transfer, started there for 2 years. The presumed number two was going to be Dylan McCaffrey, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he decided to opt out, and he decided to transfer about 3 weeks ago. Put his name into the portal. So now you're going to be looking at Joe Milton, who I believe has thrown 7 passes in his Michigan career. And for him, not a lot of experience. For Joe Rossi, you don't know a lot about what he does well and what he doesn't do well. So you have he's incredibly inexperienced. And that's good for Minnesota, but you also have you don't know what he does well. And I believe he is pretty athletic, and you're going to have to keep him contained in the pocket. But you also look at this Michigan offense. Their two best wide receivers from last year's team are gone. Donovan People-Jones went to the NFL. And then their second best receiver, Nico Collins, actually opted out, and he is not coming back, or he hasn't yet opted back in. And even if he did tomorrow, I don't know how much they would play him, considering it's 11 days until the season. You don't know what he's been doing. You've been installing a playbook without him. We'll see how that goes. The running backs are all back for Michigan, but I think maybe the most important thing to note about this this matchup coming up, and we'll talk about it more next week when we preview this, there are going to be four brand new starters on the offensive line for Michigan. They're going to be replacing 138 career collegiate starts. Other than Jalen Mayfield, who is their lone returning starter, he opted out, he opted back in. There are only four career starts on that offensive line. So it is going to be a very green, very inexperienced offensive line. And that's, I have a lot of optimism that Joe Rossi is hopefully able to exploit that. And then defensively, when you look at this game, Luke, the number one and the number two tacklers from their team last year are gone. Plus, I think another interesting note would be Michigan had three all-conference defensive backs last year, and Josh Metellus, I think the Vikings might have drafted him, LaVert Hill, and then Avery Thomas, who also opted out, and he's not coming back. He's already said, I'm just going to focus on the NFL. So three all-conference DBs are going to be gone, and starting in their stead is going to be some new guys, and they get Rashad Bateman and Chris Ottman-Bell. So what do you think? Because I don't believe I've seen a line for this game. Now, if I were to guess, I think this should be at least Minnesota -3, because that, in Vegas terms, home team gets 3 points. You're right. Saying it's a 50-50. I think Michigan's probably going to be favored 1.5. Wouldn't surprise me, which I obviously don't agree with that line. But knowing what I just told you, what do you think about this game coming up next Saturday?
So I'm looking at the S&P rankings. Michigan is 23. Minnesota is 20. Neither team has played a game. So I, like you, would pretty much call this a pick 'em. I guess I like the Gophers' chances mostly because of the experience coming back at the quarterback position and not having an experienced quarterback. You know, normally I'd say against the Gophers with so many new guys on defense, that would have me concerned. I will take the Gophers. I will take them plus. I'll take the under on the -3. I think it'll be a very close game, but I think the Gophers will find a way.
So you think Minnesota wins?
I do think Minnesota wins, but I'll take the under on our fictitious line.
And again, this is where I struggle because I haven't laid my own two eyes on this team in 7 months. And yeah, I trust my sources for some different things, but it's also like you don't know how biased or slanted they're being on one thing versus another. Versus when you see it with your own two eyes, then you can kind of come back with them what you thought versus what they thought, and you kind of meet somewhere in the middle. And that's where I know the offense thinks they're humming pretty well, Minnesota's offense. And defensively, I mean, this is where I'm at. I think that Minnesota in their 9 returning starters or whatever it is versus I shouldn't say depleted because Michigan has recruited well, secondary, a very inexperienced secondary and a very inexperienced offensive line. When you look at it on the flip side of things, Minnesota's got pretty much a very inexperienced secondary outside of Tyler Newbin, and they have a very experienced offensive line. So I think Minnesota does win this game. And I just think that Minnesota's offense puts up enough points to where you're going to put a brand new quarterback in a negative game script and force him to move the ball down the field. And that's where you hope that Benjamin St. Juice and Coney Durr have some big days, as this is also the Benjamin St. Juice revenge game. Because Jim Harbaugh tried to get him to medically retire. Benjamin St. Juice said, screw you, went to Minnesota, and obviously had a very good year for them last year. So I would love to see a St. Juice pick 6 to end this thing. And then I hope he scores the touchdown and then just turns back and stares directly at those khaki pleated pants.
And now he's arguably an NFL prospect. Okay, short week going to Maryland. This is, again, a Friday night game, which you already alluded to. They have Northwestern in the week before. This was an offense that Ryan struggled massively last year. Like, they were I don't mean
Maryland
to speak ill of them.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Minnesota travels to Maryland October the 30th, short week, 6 days, where Maryland, I guess, technically also has a short week because they're at Northwestern the week before. But when you look at this Maryland team in 2020, likely going to be another brand new quarterback. I don't believe it'll be Josh Jackson, even though I guess he's technically the returning starter. You'll remember him versus Minnesota last year. Not good. Really not good. Part of the reason why Maryland struggled immensely. So it's either going to be Josh Jackson or Tua Tagovailoa's younger brother. And I forget how to say his first name. So either way, I mean, you're either getting an experienced but pretty mediocre quarterback, or you're getting a young and talented quarterback in start number two. Either way, I think that bodes well for Minnesota. The other thing that I think that bodes well is Anthony McFarlane is gone. And I believe the other running back's name was Javon Leak. Both of them were legit NFL guys. And I believe McFarlane went in the third round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know where Leak went, but they don't have a bona fide NFL guy there at running back. They're also missing three starters on their offensive line. They're also missing their best linebacker and defensive back who graduated. So to me, this comes down to, do you believe that Maryland can stop Minnesota offensively? I don't. I don't know what you think, but I'm going to predict this is a Minnesota win on a Friday night and Minnesota starts 2-0. What say you?
Where do you think Maryland ranks in the S&P by just a guess?
85th.
78th, so pretty good. Again, the Gophers are at 20 right now. They haven't played a game thus far. I might actually be a couple weeks off. But regardless, I think it more or less kind of holds. I'll take the Gophers, and I think they win by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, 2-0 heading into what is definitely going to be a trap game for Minnesota, Luke.
Yeah, so looking at this next game is against Illinois. Here's the thing about Illinois. They weren't that bad last year. This is a team.
They were bad when they played Minnesota, but it's seemingly like that game, they turned a switch on.
Yeah, they got better, and they were like, they didn't make a bowl game, but they were really close, right? Or did they make one?
They made the bowl game.
Or did they end up 6-6? All I know is they played really well towards the end of the season. Again, they're going to be coming in having played Wisconsin at Wisconsin and then Purdue. But ironically, what are the odds that this Wisconsin-Illinois game actually gets moved because of COVID? Very realistic. Very, very realistic.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the behind-the-scenes narratives I'm following here is I believe the two hotspots in the U.S. right now for COVID are Green Bay and Madison. So, and I'm not entirely sure. I know there was a big COVID outbreak in August, in September, for that Badger football team. So I'm not entirely sure where it stands, but I can assure you we're going to find out here pretty soon because it's all getting very real. We're less than 2 weeks away. But with Illinois, Luke alluded to it, you know, everybody remembers the Illinois-Minnesota game last year. Minnesota put up a 40 ball, won by 23 points. Well, that seemingly kind of put a fire underneath the Fighting Levy Smiths because they went to Michigan that next week, actually put up some points, but then they rattled off four straight wins. Now, three of the four were Purdue, Rutgers, and Michigan State, three very bad teams. But you remember they beat Wisconsin, which gave Minnesota a chance to potentially win the West. And now I'm feeling sad because they didn't. But here's what I'll say, and I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to predict Minnesota loses. Yeah, yes, you heard me right. I think Minnesota loses to the Fighting Levy Smiths of Illinois. From everything I've been told from Jeremy Warner, who's our Illinois 24/7 guy, he is very – I don't think he's slanted or biased at all. And he has said for the entire 2020, this is Lovie Smith's best team. Now, you know, Luke also said this. This was the first time I believe Illinois made a bowl game under Lovie Smith. But Minnesota just seemingly never plays well in recent memory there. They've lost two of their last three games in Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the dull atmosphere. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but Minnesota just doesn't seem to play there. And I do wonder if Minnesota gets caught looking ahead, because the game after Illinois is going to be Iowa at home. So I think Minnesota's going to have a game or two like this on this schedule because of how things have gone across college football. I mean, you've seen how variance has just struck time and time again through the first few weeks of Big Ten and SEC play. But I think this is a game where Minnesota gets caught looking ahead. I think Minnesota's defense struggles to kind of combat with what Illinois has got going offensively. And I think it's a close loss for the Gophers, and they're 2-1.
All right. So I am actually going to take the Gophers to win this game. I did look up the most current S&P. The Gophers are at 15. Illinois is at 65. I'll take the Gophers in a close one to win by 3. I do think that Illinois is going to be a much improved ball club, but I will take the Gophers to win here. And Lovie Smith will probably not see the next season, in my opinion.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Game number 4, short week for Minnesota. Iowa comes to town, Luke, Friday night game. Mm-hmm. And no one gets to be there except 2 player/guests for each player. I didn't explain that incredibly well. For those of you wondering what the fan situation is going to be for TCF Bank Stadium, from what I've been told, each player gets 2 guests that they get to bring to the game, and that's it. So no fans outside of essentially mom and dad or a couple of buddies or whoever it is who these players decide to give their tickets to. So tough luck there.
All right. So against Iowa, they will have had home games against Northwestern and Michigan State. We talked about this in previous episodes. They're actually going to be breaking in a new quarterback. They're also going to have all skill positions back. They had a pretty solid wide receiver. Is it Smith Marset? I can't remember the last name. What's the last name, Ryan? The good wide receiver.
Yeah, Amir Smith Marset.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a team that traditionally is pretty good on defense, holds like crazy on the offensive line and gets away with it like crazy. And, you know, they're traditionally good and usually not haven't been a good matchup for this Gopher squad, especially this PJ Fleck Gopher squad. Ryan, any other things you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I think, the big talking point being Nate Stanley, the Iowa Hawkeye quarterback,
current Viking.
Yeah, I believe he was a 7th-round pick in the Minnesota Vikings, so you're looking at a brand-new quarterback in Spencer Petras. And that's where Iowa gets to break him in against the powerhouses that are Northwestern and Michigan State, if you couldn't tell by the tone of my voice, incredibly, incredibly, incredibly sarcastic. So he's going to have 3 games to build confidence before he comes to TCF Bank Stadium. And he's going to have some pretty good skill position players to throw to. Anyone who is worth anything for Iowa skill position-wise, I believe, is back, including their good young running back, Tyler Goodson. You still have Amir Smith Marset. You still have Brandon Smith. And Iowa always has a tight end or two they can throw the ball to. But I think the interesting thing to note is they lose Tristan Wirfs to the NFL, their stud offensive tackle. They replace him with Coy Kronk, who started 40 games for Indiana, and then transferred to Iowa. So, you know, it's just seemingly Iowa's offensive line just reloads. But where there's, susceptible is on the interior. Yes, they have Tyler Lindebaum, their center, who's pretty good, but their 2 guard spots are going to be pretty green. And so that's where you're hoping that Keontae Shad, Mikeadu Treadway, D'Angelo Carter, whoever it may be, can get some penetration on the interior to kind of force some things to put some pressure on Spencer Petras. And then defensively, you're going to be without AJ Epenesa, who, you know, remember last year just was wreaking havoc on Minnesota in that 4th quarter. They have 3 starting linebackers gone from last year. Kristen Welsh graduated. Dylan Doyle, who is going to be a projected starter for this team, transferred to Baylor because his dad was the strength coach at Iowa, who was thrown under the bus and fired, rightfully so, for a lot of the things. Yet Brian Ferentz is still there at Iowa. That's a whole different podcast. And then I believe the young man's name is Dijon Colbert, was also projected to be a starter and was a starter last year. He opted out. So you're going to have some different bodies at linebacker. Plus they had 2 DBs off to the NFL. So that's where you're looking at that back 7 for Iowa. That's where you're hoping Rashad Bateman, Chris Ottman-Bell, maybe Brevin Spann-Ford can really wreak some havoc, and Minnesota can put up points in this game to, and kind of turn it around on Spencer Petras and say, hey, if you're going to want to compete with us, you're going to have to put up points too.
All right, so I'll go first. Can the Gophers get the Florida Railsdale back to Minnesota? We haven't seen it yet in the PJ Fleck era. I will say until I see otherwise, I'm going to continue to pick Iowa. Now, if they had would have played and started the season with Iowa, Iowa's always start slow, but they slowly get better as the season goes on. I will take Iowa to win by 3.
I'm going to pick Minnesota to win. I do think the Florida Rosedale comes home. I know that Minnesota's coaching staff wants this one badly. They know they need to beat Iowa. They know they should have probably won last year with how they played in the final 40 minutes of that game. And this is one that they know they need to win in a short week. They wish fans were here, but I'm going to say Minnesota wins 28-24, somewhere in that range. And I got Minnesota 3-1, and you got Minnesota 3-1 halfway through the schedule here, Luke.
All right. Your favorite team, the Fighting Brahms. I like the Fighting Brahms a lot. Not as team, but as like a name. I like it. They will have been at Wisconsin. Again, this is Purdue. They will have been at Wisconsin and versus Northwestern. It's going to be on a short week for them. We should all remember the game in which the Gophers absolutely slaughtered Purdue on a very cold, blustery, somewhat even snowy day about 2 years ago. This was probably the hottest team in college football, came into TCF Bank Stadium and completely laid an egg. What else do we need to know about Purdue, Ryan?
What you need to know is Rondale Moore's back, and stud receiver, freshman receiver. I think he was first team all Big Ten back in 2018. And gets hurt against Minnesota last year. And he opted back in. So I think Purdue has got the best wide receiver tandem in the Big Ten this year with Rondale Moore and David Bell. David Bell is an incredibly tremendous sophomore receiver, put up some pretty big stat lines last year. I think he's very, very talented. But here's where I'm at with Purdue is they have Wisconsin on the road and then a home game against Northwestern. Plus, it's a short week for them where it's a normal week for Minnesota because of back-to-back Friday night games. And Purdue, as Luke mentioned, just doesn't seem to play well in the cold. Because you remember that 2018 game, Minnesota wins 41-10. And do you remember what happened just before that game, Luke?
They upset somebody. I can't remember exactly who they upset, but they played super well.
They did. They were playing incredibly well. I think they beat Ohio State 2 weeks before, won the game the previous week. But Minnesota had just fired their defensive coordinator.
Oh, you meant Rob Minnesota. Smith. Yes, I remember they fired Rob Smith. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant Purdue.
Well, it's both. And that's what I'm alluding to is Purdue was white hot. Minnesota was not trending in the right direction, especially defensively. And they came in on a cold and snowy-ish night. I think it was in like mid to high 30s and windy. And the moment they got off the bus, they lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do that here again? Because, I mean, we're talking about a mid-November game, just like it was 2 years ago. And Minnesota just seemingly puts up points against Jeff Brohm. They put up 41 in 2018. They put up 38 in 2019. And now they have a majority of starters back. There's no love lost between Minnesota and Purdue. And for Purdue offensively, they're still trying to figure out their quarterback situation right now. They lost the Big Ten tight end of the year to the NFL. Yeah, they're still going to have Rondale Moore and David Moore.
David Bell.
David Bell. But defensively is going to be the question for Purdue. Can they bleeping stop anyone? They haven't been able to stop PJ Fleck since he's been here really consistently, especially the last 2 years. So I'm going to pick this one as Minnesota gets a healthy victory over Purdue, something in the 35-24 range probably. So I got Minnesota 4-1. What say you, Luke?
I'm going to take the Gophers in a shootout here. Do you remember the stat line for Tanner Morgan against Purdue last year? I thought you made a good point in their defense was pretty poor, but I just looked up his stat line. 21 for 22, 396 yards and 4 touchdowns last year against Purdue.
Minnesota last year in Big Ten play, I think they had the 10th most completions, but they were number one in yards per completion. So essentially they didn't have to throw a ton, but when they did throw, Luke, it was big play after big play.
Yeah, and the Gophers actually are up ending the third quarter 38-17 and then gave up 14. Yeah, 14 unanswered.
Well, now you're bringing me down a path where I didn't want to go because I'm thinking about Gopher special teams where Purdue scores and then they do the onside kick. I think it hits Seth Green between the chest, bounces right to a Purdue defender because Gopher special teams are diseased. And they made it interesting there down the stretch. I think Tyler Johnson got a PI call when Minnesota needed it on the third down. But either way, I just think that Minnesota is going to be able to move the ball. And I don't know that Purdue in cold weather is something that Jeff Brohm has them prepared for.
And I'll take the Gophers. It'll be a shootout, though. I'll go 38-34 Gophers. All right, so let's get back to Purdue.
The game of the season, probably.
Yeah. Wisconsin will have played road games at Michigan and Northwestern the week before. The real question, and we haven't talked about this a lot, is it's very possible some of these games could be postponed and or canceled. And the way that Wisconsin is trending in regards to COVID, which we already mentioned, who knows if they're even able to play a single game, right? That's the real question. That's 100% sarcasm, but
there's some things that got to be figured out in Wisconsin, especially with the Big Ten thresholds, which are among the, I think they're the stingiest and the strictest amongst the Power Fives.
But it's something like 7.5%.
7.5% of the, yep. So the two things, as I think we explained a couple podcasts ago, would be if the game is postponed, it's because the team positivity rate over a 7-day rolling period is over 7.5. I think it's either 5%.
It's like 5%, but the area you're in, like the county, right, has to
correct. And the other half,
is
the population density for that area,
right?
And if they're over 7.5%, it gets dicey,
right? You either move the game or you cancel it or you postpone.
Of which, by the way, how in the world can you move the game because the Big Ten decided 9 games in 9 weeks because college football playoff money.
Right. And what I meant by move is actually like physically move it to a different location. So like in the case of like Wisconsin and Illinois, go play in Illinois. Like last I looked, Wisconsin's 7-day rolling average is like 17% or something ridiculous like that on the state level.
So maybe this game's played at TCF Bank Stadium. And
who knows?
Who knows,
right?
I think it's an interesting, it's something we got to talk about. Certainly.
Right. So, but again, Jack Cohen's out indefinitely. So, but lots of stuff, a lot of moving parts on offense for them, lost a lot of guys.
It is. And that's where you look at the way this sets up for Minnesota. Because they have a Friday night game, Wisconsin plays on Saturday the week before at Northwestern. I guess in theory, Minnesota gets an extra day to prepare, an extra day to recover. And they're going to be looking at a very, very different Wisconsin offense. Quarterback Jack Cohn broke his foot or did something to his foot. He's out indefinitely. And do we think he's back in 6 to 8 weeks? I don't think I've heard a timetable because, maybe Graham Mertz is playing well. Maybe he's not. What do they do with the quarterback situation? Because I think Jack Cohn's pretty good. I watched him with my own two eyes make some pretty dang good throws in some inclement weather last year in a big spot game. And I think that's definitely a loss, even though maybe Graham Mertz has more physical talent than him. He doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have, potentially the knowledge of the offense that Jack Cohn had as an older guy. And you also look at no more Jonathan Taylor. And I know many of you are probably thinking in your heads, Ryan, well, don't you know Wisconsin just reloads? I'm telling you, I don't think they reload immediately this year. I don't think so because Evan Flood of our Badger 24/7 site, I think he wrote something today saying Wisconsin wants to change up their offense a little bit because they know that they don't have a bona fide stud there. They don't have them there yet. And so that's where Wisconsin wants to go more pass happy. But they're also going to be without their stud receiver, Quintez Cephas, who lit up Minnesota last year. Plus, they got 3 brand new starters on their offensive line. So I think this is an interesting thing to kind of note because I have no idea what to expect from Wisconsin offensively with their personnel. I don't know what to expect with what they're going to do schematically. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably be a 2 and 3 tight end set team with a fullback at times, but the theme out of Madison throughout 2020, from what I've read from Evan Flood of our Wisconsin 24/7 site, has been Wisconsin wants to go more pass happy. You don't go more pass happy if you fully trust your offensive line, who you're placing 3 starters on. You don't go more pass happy if you have a bona fide stud running back there. Why change what works? And so I think they're changing because they know that they have to change. But this game comes down to this for me, Luke, is Wisconsin defensively, yes, they lose. I think Chris Orr and Zach Bond, they're 2 stud linebackers, but they're going to be really good there. And I just don't think – here's what I'll say. I hope Minnesota does it again for the 2nd straight time in Madison, but I'm not going to pick them there because Minnesota needs to prove again. I mean, they proved it against Penn State and they proved it against Auburn in the bowl game, but it's another big spot game. And if you want to get over that hump in the Big Ten, you got to go through the Badgers of Wisconsin. And if this game's played in Madison, you know, even if it's played in Minnesota, as we currently sit here today, again, I want to see what Wisconsin looks like. I'm going to pick the Badgers to beat the Gophers. So I think I have we're at 4-2. I have Minnesota at right now. What say you about this Wisconsin
game? Yeah, you know, this is a tough one. I'd love to repick this game like 2 games in, but I know we don't get that luxury.
I mean, we do. You and I actually get to pick the game about two days beforehand when we do our preview episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. Please rate and subscribe.
Okay.
I mean, we have the benefit of doing this. Obviously, hindsight analysis in 5-6 weeks, we can look back on this and be like, you guys are idiots.
We are idiots.
Until Minnesota's offense can really, I mean, we've seen the two ends of the spectrum. We've seen the 2018 offense, which just ran it down Wisconsin's throat in Camp Randall. Then you also saw the 2019 version, which kept shooting itself in the foot. Tanner Morgan was consistently under pressure, and Minnesota couldn't run the ball. Yes, the Minnesota defense played a part in, you know, Minnesota's defense couldn't stop what Wisconsin was doing. But I also think that Wisconsin has schemed Minnesota incredibly well last year. And I obviously think they're going to be well prepared for this game. But I want to see it in for my own 2 eyes. And luckily, you know, you and I get to talk about it in 6 weeks. But I am going to pick Wisconsin to win.
I'll probably pick Wisconsin to win, too. I have a sneaking feeling that Minnesota could pull this one out, but I guess
if they do, and again, of course, I hope they do this.
Yeah,
you know, just like everyone listening, I hope they do. But I would probably have this game 60-40 Wisconsin right now. So again, there are plenty of ways Minnesota can win this, and we'll get into that at the time. But if I think the Big Ten West is decided in this game.
I think
Iowa's going to be a game behind what Minnesota and Wisconsin are doing this year with all the turnover that they have there, and they have a tougher schedule with the crossovers, I believe, as well. I think the Big Ten West is decided in this game, unless Wisconsin, of which I could see this happening. I mean, I could see Wisconsin, you know, tripping up in a game like they did last year that they're not supposed to.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
They could have an Illinois game with all the change that they're going through offensively, but more than likely, folks, this is where the West is decided this year, and it's going to be Thanksgiving weekend in Madison.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk real quickly about Northwestern. This will be a home game. Their previous games...
We are now in the December part of the schedule.
Which is this the first? Yeah. Which, by the way, yes, the Vikings left the heating coils in underneath the field.
Thank God you mentioned that, because I know I would have gotten more tweets and emails and posts on Gopher Illustrated.
But
Vikings left the heating coils in when they departed, so the field can be, I guess, quote unquote, de-iced.
Yeah,
for this December home game.
I still wouldn't surprise me if they play an indoor game, possibly like this one.
Fans are going to be allowed into the stadium. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I mean,
just like everybody, we're taking this day by day and week by week.
I have no idea. Okay, so. Northwestern, Wisconsin, and then at Michigan State the weeks before. This is a team that really, really, really struggled offensively. Like really, really struggled.
They are
really hard to pick against because defensively they are so incredibly sound. Pat Fitzgerald has the utmost respect for me in terms of what they do schematically. I've a number of times convinced Ryan to pick Northwestern over Minnesota. This year is not going to be the year that I'm going to even try to convince him. But I'm telling you, I have the utmost respect for Pat Fitzgerald and what his defenses can do.
Like, if you're going to tell me a tale where Northwestern wins this game, you're going to tell me that Northwestern's defense goes full Pat Fitzgerald. They hold Minnesota to 17 or 20 points. There's a special teams gaffe by the Gophers that, you know, a blocked field goal or a blocked punt for turn for a touchdown, something like that. I just don't know how I don't know how Northwestern moves the ball right now. Now, they actually have a decent quarterback there now in Peyton Ramsey. You'll remember him from his Indiana days. But their best offensive lineman opted out. He's a legitimate NFL prospect. He held Chase Young in check last year. He opted out. He's not coming back. And with a school like Northwestern, you just don't replace that kind of production there. The other big thing would be, yeah, you have a quarterback, but you don't have any pass catchers. Their best pass catcher, I believe the young man's name was, this is going to be Luke Buer-esque.
Thank you.
Bennett Skorwekic. Something like that. He transferred to Notre Dame. I wasn't impressed with anything that Northwestern had going on last year at their pass catching core. So if you're Minnesota, just put eight in the box, put St. Juste and Duron Islands, have Howden play the Winfield role in the middle of the field and say, okay, Pat Fitzgerald, what happens if we get up 10-0? Now you got to throw the ball and now we get to pin our ears back. So I think this is a game Minnesota wins. I could see this being a slugfest because I have the utmost respect for what Pat Fitzgerald does defensively, just like Luke does. But I think if Minnesota gets up two scores in this game, you're going to have Pat Fitzgerald looking around and talking to his offensive coordinators saying, how in the world are we going to move the ball 75 yards down the field if they're just going to pin back Boye Mafe and Thomas Rush and these other different blitzing linebackers? So I think Minnesota wins this game. They're 5-2 going into the Nebraska game.
All right, so Nebraska is going to be home versus Nebraska, at Nebraska. I was reading at Northwestern. They'll be at Nebraska. This is a road, and Nebraska will have played road games against Iowa and Purdue the weeks before. I mean, Nebraska got what they deserved, right? They have a brutal start for the season. Like, they literally got what they deserved. They have Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State in their first four games. I mean, what I heard is they'd be willing.
If I've learned anything about Nebraska during this COVID time period, Luke, it's that every Nebraska fan thinks you should be kissing their feet, shining their shoes, and thanking them because they believe they are solely responsible for the Big Ten resuming play.
It's kind of like they probably think that Donald Trump also brought back the Big Ten, but I don't think that was really the case.
Yeah, we're getting off on a tangent there, but
here's a question for you. Just to start, where do you think right now Nebraska lands in the S&P? Not a single game has been played, right? Not a single game.
S&P
this is
should
six
in
weeks.
Theory not be biased because we believe in the S&P. I would say 66.
Dude, you're going to be so surprised. 30.
Why? You know what? Here, before you answer that, here's why that is. Adrian Martinez took a giant step back last year.
Yes.
2018, his freshman season, he tore apart Minnesota. He did that. I believe he was Big Ten freshman of the year. 2019, he's injury plagued. And when he did play, he was bad.
Yeah.
And J.D. Spielman's gone. You know, what in the wait 30th
right now?
No
30th
way.
Yes, dead serious.
Because defensively their best two defensive linemen are gone, their best corner's gone in Lamar Jackson. They couldn't stop anyone. Minnesota ran the ball down their throats and had gigantic running holes all night. Now if you're a Husker fan listening to this, I'm well aware that Nebraska beat the piss out of Minnesota's Rob Smith defense in 2018.
But who didn't?
I understand that this game's on the road at Nebraska, but because they have Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State in their first four games. And then the 2 weeks before they play the Gophers here to end the season, I mean, you got brutal games against Iowa and Purdue on the road. I mean, if I don't know where they're going to be at mentally, because that is such a brutal schedule. And say they're 2-5 or 1-6 coming into this game, because I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities for them. Are they going to quit on Scott Frost?
I mean,
what does Scott Frost have to, what has he shown in a Nebraska football polo? Because Lord knows he's not wearing a hoodie, that this can be a game for them. I don't know. I'm picking Minnesota to win this game 6-2. The same week to end the season, Wisconsin plays Iowa, and I'd be imagining you're probably going to be hoping that Iowa wins that, and maybe Minnesota gets to the next week playing Ohio State or something. But I don't know how 30th, because I believe the story out of Lincoln is they also, their top four signees from their 2020 class, four-star guys, four-stars have already transferred out of Lincoln. The season hasn't even been played yet. Some of their top guys have already transferred back to Florida. So obviously they didn't like what was going on there. Plus you don't have J.D. Spielman. I think quarterback is a very big question mark. 30th. Woo.
30th.
That is surprising to me.
I do have to ask you, how would you pick this game if it was played in Uzbekistan?
that one landed. That's good Scott you. Frost humor there.
Thank now, you.
Again, Scott Frost can say what he wants to about, you know, we're willing to play anywhere. Are you willing to play anywhere in mid-December when you just had your brains beat in for 7 games and you're 2-5? I mean, we might find out, and I can assure you, Minnesota has no love lost for Nebraska for some of the different things they've done with some different recruitments here. But I think Minnesota goes in. I think they win this game. They go 6-2 into the crossover, and you kind of see where the chips lie against whoever the crossover team is.
I also am going to take the Gophers over Nebraska here as well. I just don't know how Nebraska beats them, but I guess I could be completely wrong, because this whole season is going to be a minor asterisk in my opinion. I think anything could happen. Like, we didn't talk about this at all. Like,
say Tanner Morgan gets COVID.
Yeah.
He gets positive test. He's out 3 weeks.
Well, think.
Yeah. Zach Anixted can do some things, but there's a significant drop off from the way Tanner Morgan is throwing the football right now to, you know, what Zach Anixted's doing, or say Benjamin St. Juiced and Coney Durr get COVID. I mean, there's another drop-off from St. Juiced and Durr to, you know, whether it's Terrell Smith, Miles Fleming, Philip Howard.
It's
all about who's available that week.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before. I think this year in particular is going to be hardest to keep, you know, 18 to 22-year-old, 23-year-olds focused, right? Like,
it's
challenging. It's one, challenging in a normal season with, you know, all the TikTok and the girls and, you know, TikTok.
Sound old, you boomer.
Thanks. But seriously, it's hard to keep them focused when there's all those different distractions they have, plus school, plus, you know, basically their full-time job that they're not getting compensated for to play football outside of, you know, scholarship, right? Like, there's a lot now.
It's going to be interesting.
Add in this whole health thing. Imagine what some of them potentially have already gone through from like a mental health perspective. Like, I think this year in particular, you could see a lot of crazy upsets just based on who wants to be there and who wants to play the game. Right.
And the tough part is you won't know that until about 15 minutes are played.
Exactly.
And you look up and you're like, boy, that team just didn't want to be there today.
So. Yeah.
I think you're at 6-2, and I think that I'm 6-2.
My losses were Iowa and Wisconsin. Who did you have?
I had Wisconsin and Illinois.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, you know, I'd love to eat crow, but Minnesota just never seems to play well in Illinois. Plus, I think Lovey's going to have that team ready for it.
I think plausibly the Gophers could go. I think they could go 7-1, all the way they could be 5-3. I legitimately believe that.
I think that's the realm of possibilities. I mean, sure, I mean, 4-4. I think absolute worst case, 4-4. I just think there's way too much offensive firepower.
Sure.
And Joe Rossi has proven in his 16-game sample size, he knows how to make adjustments to this defense. And I think that defense is going to get better as the year goes on. And that's where you're hoping that this offense can come out firing on all cylinders to start.
Total games played. Here's the line. Give me the over, the under. 8.5. Not including bowl games. These are like regular season games, right? So they're saying 9. 8.5. You're going to take the over, the under.
For those of you who don't know, we didn't talk about the 9th game because it's a theoretical opponent. It's
right.
The crossover game, 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3. I don't know at this point in time.
I'm honestly going to take the under. I think that legitimately...
8.5?
If it's an 8.5, I'm going to take the under.
I'll take it as well. I think there's a game postponed. Here's a real thought, Luke. You know what it is? You know which game has the highest likelihood as we sit here today of getting postponed? Madison.
Mm-hmm.
What if Minnesota Wisconsin isn't able to be played?
So then like what if
what they happens then?
What if they can't host it, where does the trophy go?
I mean, it probably stays in Madison until they can play it next. But
that or does it go to the Big Ten offices?
I don't know. I mean, we'll just as we do each week here on the Goat for Gridiron Radio podcast, we take it week by week. So let's get into some player predictions and get the heck out of here so folks can get out of their car or go to the gym.
Okay, so let's start with player predictions. Let's go with offense. Who is going to be the most important players on offense, Ryan?
Who would you go?
I think it's going to be most important for me is offensive line, whether that's Dunlop or Falele, if they play, right? And if they get back into the good graces. Or it's going to be who's ever backing him up. To me, those are the most important guys right now.
Interesting. For those of you who are waiting for Falele or Dunlap news, we've been talking about Dunlap on GI, same with Falele. I think you're going to hear resolution on them in the next 7 days. And we'll have stuff ready to go on GI when it gets out there. So most important on offense for me is Tanner Morgan, bar none. Best quarterback and best Gopher quarterback in my 28 years on this planet. And I think that he can do a lot of things for this offense that Zach Anixted probably couldn't do. And I think him being able to move the ball efficiently through the air to who my number two would be, Rashad Bateman. I mean, Rashad Bateman, spun the yarn on him, is tremendously, tremendously talented player. Completely, to me, changes the way Minnesota can use the different levels of this. Here's how I'll explain it. Is think of the three different levels of the defense. You have 5 yards past the line of scrimmage to the line of scrimmage, your short game. You got your intermediate game, and you got your deep game. Bateman allows you to have all three levels. Because he's your burner. He's your X receiver. He can take the top off the defense at any point. That's not really the skill set of Chris Ottman Bell or Daniel Jackson or Clay Gary or Seth Green or Doug Emelin, whoever it may be. Minnesota doesn't really have that speed X receiver ready right now. And with Bateman there, he can change a lot of the different things and manipulate some different schematics that defenses are going to do to try and take away Bateman. So I'll go Morgan, Bateman, and then the offensive line third.
Okay, most important on the defense for you.
Who would you go? Again, you know my answers because they're here in the pre-production meeting. Mm-hmm. But what do you think?
With so many guys graduating or moving on, you know, to play professionally, I'm probably going to go someone like Jordan Howden right now. He was good last year. Surrounded by some pretty good players, especially alongside of him with Antoine Winfield Jr. But they need leaders on that defense. I know that they have Coney Durer. I know they have St. Juice back. But you need one of those, you know, guys in the middle of the field, whether it's going to be a linebacker or it's going to be Howden, a returner. You know, there's going to be a lot of inexperience on this. You need some people that can get people lined up in the right positions and being consistent. And I think he's the key for them there.
Oh, man, that's a good one. and one I didn't write down. I think that's a very, very good point. You know, especially with how inexperienced Minnesota is at safety behind Jordan Howden.
Right.
I mean, they're going to need him. And Joe Harris-Simiak talked about that with my interview with him on Gopher Illustrated. They're going to need Howden to take that next step. And he's starting to. And if you want to read Harris-Simiak's words verbatim, I believe that's for free in GopherIllustrated.com. But my most important players on the defense, defensive line-wise, Boye Mafe. Because you need to be able to rush the passer. And Mafe is Minnesota's best chance of being able to do that with four guys. And I don't think it's close. Linebackers, you're going to hear a lot. If I just can't, I can't stress enough to you listeners behind the scenes here that number 55 linebacker Mariano Sorry-Marin, I mean, he's getting a lot of talk behind the scenes about how much he's improved. Because you'll remember listening to us in the non-conference last year with Derek Burns, just thinking, you know, we were just discussing, you know, what is Sorry-Marin doing? And yeah, he improved as the year went on, but it sounds like he's taken another step and Minnesota needs him to without Kamal Martin or Thomas Barber there. And then in the secondary, I wrote down Benjamin St. Juste because his height, his length, his speed is something that Minnesota doesn't have. They don't have a lot of 6 foot two corners there. And Terrell Smith is not ready. Still grabby and still needs to prove to new corners coach Paul Haynes that he can be physical in the run game, but then less grabby in the passing game. And I think if St. Juste goes down, the drop off from him to Howard or Terrell Smith or Miles Fleming or whoever it may be is going to be a sharp one.
All right. So then now let's transition slightly. Who's someone that's going to break out on offense, Ryan? You already know my answer. It's Brevin Spanford. Going back to my glory days, you know, the Central Lakes Conference. So he's my guy.
Yeah, I'm living, I'm dying on this Brevin Spanford hype train. And for those of you who haven't read it, go to GI, check out the Clay Patterson interview. Minnesota's tight ends coach sat down with me. We talked Brevin Spanford. We talked about all the tight ends. But I think Brevin Spanford is the most physically talented tight end that Minnesota's had since Max Williams. And I think he has an NFL ceiling just like Max Williams had. Now he has to go out and prove it. Because I can assure you behind the scenes in practice, Brevin Spanford is having a sensational spring, summer, and fall 2020. But we saw how that has happened to different players behind the scenes. And it hasn't been able to show up in now Friday and Saturday nights. So Brevin needs to go out there. And I'm saying Brevin Spanford has 5 touchdowns and 20 catches this year. I think he is going to be a big asset in the red and green zone. And if he gets 20 balls in 9 games, Luke, do you know how many catches the tight end position had in 18 and 19 combined?
Not that many.
16. So Brevin could single-handedly improve upon that. And my other breakout player on offense is going to be running back Trey Potts. I think he is probably the front runner to get carries behind Mo Ibrahim right now, which makes a lot of sense to me. He is the most east-west runner on the roster, whereas Mo Ibrahim is a north-south guy. Trey Potts is someone that Kenny Burns talked about with me, Minnesota's running backs coach, about trying to get him into space, trying to get him in screens, trying to get him on jet sweeps, trying to make sure he can get into space and make men miss because that's where he wins. So I'm going to go Brevin Spanford to Trey Potts on offense.
All right, how about defense? Who you got as the breakout player on defense? You already touched on Mariano. Right. What else you got?
I got Mariano Sorry-Marin at linebacker. Joe Rossi told me, you know, he's going to be, he's got expectations for Sorry-Marin to be one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten. Now, I think that's awfully, awfully lofty considering where he was at last year, but I hope that he's taken that next step and he is a very adequate linebacker. I mean, I can't not say Boye Mafe.
Right.
I can't not say 6'5", 260, 40-something inch vert. Minnesota needs to be able to rush the passer, and I'm hoping that Mafe can be able to do that.
So I would go Mafe too. He flashed, you know, in the opportunities he had last season. What to me is going to constitute him as a breakout player on defense is that he is consistently flashing. And I know that they rotate defensive linemen, right? But if he can be consistent with that, like, he'll be is he a redshirt sophomore this year? This will be his last season. Like, he'll go pro.
I mean, if he does, everyone's going to be happy because he had a sensational season.
Exactly.
Minnesota probably won a lot of games.
Right.
Now, as Luke, you noted it, and I think that is a very, very good point. Boye is going to go from playing 30% of the snaps to probably 70 or 75. Can he keep up that motor?
Exactly.
Twice, 2.5 times the amount of snaps that he played last year? Very big question mark that we're going to have answered here.
Okay, obviously, you're the all-encompassing expert on recruiting. So people obviously want to know who are going to be freshman impact players. I am going to recuse myself here because I do see the notes, but also I don't even know who half these guys are. So I'm going to just defer to you. I mean, I know some of the names, but I know nothing about them. I know the ones that redshirted because I've read a little bit about them on Gopher Illustrated. But, you know, some of these guys, like, I've heard the name Daniel Jackson and I've heard Doug Emmelin, but I don't really know anything about them, right? So please, offense and defensive standout, or not standouts, but best freshmen this coming season. And by the way, they'll be freshmen again.
They will be next year too, so I get to double down then. But redshirt freshman on offense, I think the best one's going to be Trey Potts. I think he's going to be an asset, hopefully, in the return game as a change of pace back. And I hope things continue to trend well for him, and I hope he's able to stay healthy. If I have to pick a true freshman, again, it should be no surprise to anybody who's been listening to us throughout the entire summer, throughout the entire fall, Daniel Jackson or Doug Emmelin, I would not be surprised at all to see start at receiver for Minnesota in a 3-wide receiver set. Specifically, Daniel Jackson is having maybe the best fall camp of any of the young players on the roster. And you remember him, was a near 4-star prospect, or I think he was a 4-star prospect coming out of Kansas, chose Minnesota over Wisconsin. And he tore his ACL as a junior, really started to get up to speed by the end of his senior year. And he has really taken to Matt Simon's coaching here since he's been able to work with him this summer and this fall. He had a very productive fall scrimmage from what I've been told. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Daniel Jackson have. Now, here's what I'll say. If you're expecting Daniel Jackson or Doug Emmelin to have a Rashad Bateman type of 20, you know, true freshman season, don't. Please don't put those expectations on them. Very different players, different situations. And for those of you thinking, why is it a different situation? Well, I think you should head over and read what wide receivers coach Matt Simon said about it, because he put it very, very eloquently on how these guys are different. But Matt Simon even told me, these guys are definitely going to play. And so I hope there's no freshman on the offensive line. I don't really see Austin Henderson kicking in at tight end this year. And I think Kai Thomas is going to have to wait his turn another year at running back, but we'll see how things play out.
All right. What about on the defensive side of the ball?
Defensively, I've been hitching my train to this for quite some time. I think D'Angelo Carter is going to have a heck of an impact for Minnesota this year. I think you're going to see why he is the defensive tackle of the future of the guys. And I mean, Rashad Chaney and MJ Anderson, guys on the interior there, I've heard they're progressing well as well. But I think D'Angelo Carter is going to give people a lot of Steven Richardson vibes, and that's going to be a good thing. You're also going to be probably counting on some freshman linebackers, whether that's James Gordon, Donald Willis, maybe Cody Lindenberg or Quan Burns. And then on the back end, don't sleep on Michael Dixon and Jalen Glaze for freshmen. I think both will be on special teams, but I've heard Michael Dixon has given Tyler Newbin a run for his money as that other starting safety spot. Michael Dixon was a kid Minnesota signed out of Georgia. Athletically, he is as gifted as Newbin is. 6'1", looks the part, long, toned, very physical. And then you also have Jalen Glaze at that nickel spot that I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him potentially win that out. So you're going to see some of these young guys start to come in, but I just hope that we don't see a ton of them all at the same time, because if that's the case, I don't know that you're going to be winning a ton of games, Luke.
All right, so next week we will be back to preview the first game against Michigan. This will be the opening game in the 2020 the 2020
maybe with college game day on
yeah,
site.
Maybe, yeah. So again, we would appreciate if you rate and review the podcast.
You know we're going to read it.
Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.